Welcome as you join us from the Christian Revival Church, Rockingham.
Father, as we come, Lord, as we come at the beginning of this year, we just resurrender to you. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for doing what you need to do in this church, in this city, in this community. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We bless you. We glorify you. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do that. Lord, we set you apart in our hearts. Lord, we set ourselves apart. We really pray that, Lord, that you'd make us holy as you are holy. Sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. We worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. Come on, let's just raise our hands to the Lord as we just resurrender to him. As we just resurrender to him. Lord, we do that. We resurrender to you. We come, Lord God, not as arrogant. We come not as prideful people. We come as humble people, knowing we need you. Lord, we come not as religious people. We come as relationship people, your sons, your daughters. And we need your grace, Lord, more than ever. I really pray that you have your way, Lord, and be glorified in this church. Be glorified in CRC Rockingham. Be exalted, Father. Be blessed. Be lifted up, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, good morning. It's great to see you here. And come on, let's just give Jesus a praise offering in this place. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We bless you. We praise you. Yes. Come on, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? Even if there are two people, we worship God like there's 2,000 people. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you as you take your seats. It's great to be here this morning. Next week, Pastor David will be here, and we'll set the roster. And, you know, the most important thing about church, I've said this before, is each one reach one. It's not about the preacher. Because unless we reach our community and reach our world and invite people to church, nothing's going to happen, right? Amen? Who knows that? Who knows that we're living in a de-churched generation? So they need to be re-churched. And you know, a lot of Christians are actually, someone spoke to my wife yesterday and said, she's in another church, she said, she cannot tell you how many Christians are trying to get her out of church. It's a demonic thing. People are deconstructing their faith. If you can deconstruct your faith, you never had it in the beginning. Amen. I've had some people who I know who used to be pastors who actually say they no longer call themselves a Christian. Well, the Bible calls you a Christian, right? So it's just amazing what is happening in these days, that we're living in the days of great deception. And that's why we need the church. And that's why we need to get so focused on the purpose of God and do what he calls us to do. And that's to reach our world. So I know it's holidays. I know it's January. But I want to tell you, we have a goal as a church. Amen? We have a goal. We're not just here, by the way. We're not here just to take up space. So we're going to reach people. So by the end of the month, coming the first weekend in February, we're going to be 30 in attendance. Amen? Who agrees with that? So let's reach our world. Let's go reach those who are not in church. Say, hey, we miss you, back into church. Let's win our world for Jesus. Amen? That's our goal, 30 in attendance on a Sunday. Amen? You say, why is attendance important? Well, they counted, Jesus counted. Amen? They counted how many people were fed. God knows those who are his. So if we don't know what we have, we don't know where we're going. Amen? Come on. Hello? Come on. We need to do that. We're not afraid. And then we're going to believe God for 10 people added every month to this church. Okay? You can say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's okay. That's what we are going to do. And either you work with me or you're not going to. Amen? Amen? Hello? Come on. We're going to do this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Come on. I'm not afraid of this. Believe me, I've started churches with nothing. Amen? And I've seen the enemy come and try to disrupt the church. But you know what? If you just stand firm and don't give up, I don't care about religious people. I care about the harvest out there. There are 2.2 million people in the city that need to be reached. There are backslidden Christians that need to be touched and healed. Amen? Yeah. So we need to do that. I'm starting off this message today. Amen? We need to reach people. And, you know, believe me, I know when I came 9 years ago, we came to Australia, and there are a lot of people that didn't like me then, and there's a lot of people that don't like me now. Christians, and I don't care. What I care about, one thing I do is say, you may not like me, but I will love you, no matter what. Amen? Yeah. And religious people are never going to like me. I can guarantee you, never going to like me at all. Why? Because we had to reach our world. We didn't do what we did in Wangara, by the way. We're not growing every week, by the way. We're growing because we're unafraid of the religious devil that's operational in this city. We're unafraid of that. And I will not tolerate that anywhere. Amen? Amen. Come on. Amen. Jesus never, and neither will I, because he's my Lord and my Savior. Amen? You know, Henry Ford said this. He said, if I ask people what they wanted, you know, Henry Ford, we know the Model T Ford. He said, if I ask people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes you ask people, what do you want? Oh, we just want to be a little holy club. No. No, we want to win our world for Jesus. We want to dominate the atmosphere. We want to believe God that Rockingham can change, that the surrounding areas can change, that the demonic oppression that's on this region will be broken. Amen. That's what we believe in God for. I'm not here for a holy huddle. We ain't here for that. Amen. And that's why I changed the music again, because I will not accept the fact that we're just going to be a little holy huddle and be comfortable. We're going to be a people who worship God, who love God, who serve God, who are actually passionate about God, who value excellence, who do what is needed, do what is needed in order to win our world. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Ooh, it's very quiet here. That's okay. All right, it's okay. So we need to get, and we will believe God for a band, but a band that practices. We need to believe God for people that are involved. We need volunteers. Amen. So that when I get here on a Sunday morning, I saw the only people here are ladies. And thank you, ladies, for being here. But we're going to raise up men as well. Come on. I have no problem with strong women. My wife is very strong, as you all know. But we have very strong men and men who serve. Amen? Come on. Somebody say amen. All right. There we go. So we're going to do that. This month, we're going to do that. We're going to mobilize people, get people involved, win people back, stir up people, believe God for restoration. Amen. So let me continue my message. So that's my preamble. So I need to set the tone for this, because sometimes if we don't set the tone for the year, we actually don't understand why the church exists. The church exists. The church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members. We exist so we can win our world for Jesus. That's why we exist. I was one to Jesus. If somebody never won me, where would I have been? Somebody cared enough for me to pray for me, to invite me to church, to help me, to walk with me. Right? And that's why I'm serving God. And I have a purpose. We have a purpose. As a church all around the world, we have a purpose. We are purpose driven. And you know, the reality is this, the purpose that we have is to win the lost at any cost. Amen. Some of you sitting here today, God saved you. God touched your life here. Radically changed, right? Radically changed, right? So that's why we exist, so we can win our world for Jesus. And all I reckon is this, if God can change me, he can change anyone else. Because sometimes we think, man, God can't change me. Yes, he can. Because I know if God could save me, he could save anyone. Because I was a pretty rough boy. I was a sinner. But God saved me and God changed me. Amen. So in Job chapter 42, verse 10, the God of restoration says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So listen, God wants to restore. God is a restorer of broken ruins. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God restores our soul. That's the God that we serve. So we look at our city, we look at the church, and we say, God, what about our city? What about our church? God will restore, because God is the restorer. Amen. Psalm 51 verse 12, David prays, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. God restores us. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 12, it says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That's the name of our God. God is called the restorer of streets to dwell in. That's the God that we serve. God will restore his church. God will build this church. Amen. If we work with God, God will work with us. Amen. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So if we work with God and say, God, restore your church. Lord, restore us as your people in Jesus' name. God will work with those who say, God, we want you. We're hungry for you. Joel 2 verse 25 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. So I believe that in this church, in Jesus' name, in Rockingham. I tell you what, I mean, many times, and I'll be very honest with you, sometimes God, I've said to God, I said, Lord, you know, maybe send somebody else, use somebody else in Rockingham. And God said to me, no, I want you there and I want you to do something for me. Amen. And even though I'm not here every week, the point is this. We're going to raise up a team of people from within the church and from the two churches together to fulfill the purpose of God. And I want to tell you, God is the restorer. You know why? Because God has got the city at his heart. He wants to move in the city. But the point is, if we don't see that God wants to move in the church and restore the church, how will he restore? How will he restore the city? And God wants to bring back the prodigals. The prodigal sons, those who once served God, those who disillusioned, those who've been hurt, those who've been maimed, those whom the devil has taken out. God wants to restore them back to his house. Amen. He says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent amongst you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people will never be put to shame. That's the promise of God, that if we work with God and allow God to restore us, he will never put us to shame. Amen. Amen. God is going to do an amazing work in this church. I declare it in Jesus' name. I prophesy it in Jesus' name. I'm here today. I know there wasn't going to be many people. Yes, the point. I know that God will restore. I know that God will release. I know that God will increase. Amen. And I release it upon this church, and I prophesy it upon this church, so that this church will function with power and authority the way that God has intended it to function. Amen. Somebody say amen in this place. So God restores. Restoration is needed. Here's the point. Restoration is needed as a result of what has taken place outside of your control. Sometimes things happen in our lives. Sometimes things happen in our home cells or our churches or in our finances beyond our control. Right? Who's ever had that? That things have happened that you've lost stuff beyond your control. That's when restoration is needed. So sometimes I've seen things happen beyond my control, and God says, now I will restore. Amen. So God restores when that which has taken place outside of our control or because of time. You know, who knows the first law of thermodynamics? Anybody know engineering yet? The first law of thermodynamics is anything left to itself tends to chaos. If you leave anything, it tends to chaos. God never left the church. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us leadership. He's given us influence. You know why? If we locked up this building and left this building and came back a year later, what would be here? Dust and cobwebs. And it's amazing. Why? Because anything left to itself tends to chaos. So that's why in this church, we will not be pew warmers. We are not just chair sitters. We are people who are involved, and we're going to make a difference. We're going to pray. We're going to be active. We're going to give. We're going to sow our finances. We're going to pray for increase. You know why? Because if we don't do that, chaos comes. Amen. If you come to church neutral and saying, well, let's see what will happen today. No, then it's chaos. But if we say, God, we are here for a purpose. We're going to see you move by your spirit. We're going to reach people in the week. I tell you what, God will work. But anything left to itself tends to chaos. That's the first law of thermodynamics, of engineering. And it's the same in the church. That's why God says pray. That's why Paul the Apostle in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 says, pray for me that God would open up a door that I may preach the word. You see, we pray, why? For God to open doors. We pray, why? For God to increase. Amen. That's why Jesus said, you look at the skies. He says, but I tell you now, that now is the time for harvest. What did Jesus say? He said, the fields are ready for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Hey, we got to pray. Because if we don't pray, chaos comes. Amen. Come on. Amen. Jesus said it. He said, the fields are ready for harvest. Pray that God would raise up laborers. So when God looks at Rockingham, he looks at CRC and he says, CRC, what are you doing? Are you just leaving it? Are you praying? Or are you believing God? Are you reaching your world? What is it that you are doing to fulfill the purpose of God? Otherwise, it's chaos. So God restores the hears that the locust has eaten. You see, the truth is that Jabez was a man, if you read, who was a victim of his inheritance, of what people said about him. Not his fault, but it happened. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Here's the point. Is that his mother gave birth to him, and because she experienced pain in birthing him, she called his name Jabez, which means pain. Now imagine somebody, your mother, your parents call you a name because of what they experienced. So every time somebody called Jabez, they were saying, pain, come here. Oh, there's Jabez. There's that pain. Jabez, pain. That's what they were calling him. And so sometimes we are called things, or sometimes things happen beyond our control. But what are you going to do about it? Because God is the God who restores. God is the God who increases. So we can be passive, or we can say, God, we're going to do something about this. You can call me pain. But I'm going to change it. I'm going to change my destiny. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change the future of my life, of my finances. I'm going to change the future of the church. I'm going to change the future of our home cells. We're going to change this. Why? Because we're going to operate on a different level, because God is a God of restoration. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Amen. Come on. I'm stirring faith here today. If you think I've come here just to rattle you, no, I haven't come to rattle you. I've come here to rattle you that faith actually gets birthed in your life, that we can reach our world for Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on. Oh, come on. And so he was more honorable than his brothers, the Bible says. He was loyal, dependable. He in spite of his negative mother who called him pain. Amen. So maybe you've gone through the same thing, divorce, you've gone through separation. Maybe people have said stuff about you. I don't know. What is it that people have named you? You and I can decide that we will change it. Yeah. Amen. Come on. You got to declare your future. You got to declare your future. And that's God's heart. You know why? We got to make understand this, that God delights in taking burnt stones and restoring them. That's what God does. God takes burnt stones. He'll take a church like this and say, I will do something supernatural that will impact the city. If you stand with God and believe him. If we stand and say, God, we will believe you for this. Who's with me in this? Who's going to say, God, we're going to believe you to restore this city? We're going to believe you, God, to use us as a church to impact the city, to turn it upside down. Amen. Why? Because God always takes burnt stones. Jerusalem, the walls were rebuilt with the same burnt stones. That's how God works. And so we can say it like Jabez. We can say my future is better than my past. Come on, somebody say it. Say my future is better than my past. Amen. Come on, say our future as a church is better than our past. Say it. I want you to say it. Say our future as a church is better than our past. Amen. Come on, say we have a purpose. My life has a purpose. Say it. I'm called for this. Say we are called in this place. Amen. Say it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, we can change our future simply by saying certain things. Because Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, it shall move. You've got to speak to it. Or we can say, oh, well, the mountain is too big. Oh, where's this person? Where's that person? I don't know. But all I know is there's a city that God has called us to win. That's all I know. Amen. Amen. So when I walk in here, I see chairs. But I see people sitting in chairs. Some of you have been to our church in Wangara, and it was a big place. It's too small a place now. But when we first got there, it was big. People said, this is too big. I said, no, it's not too big. Because what do you see? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I've said this before. In 2019, when we moved into that place from the place we were in 2019, most of our kids' church had left. They'd left. The mothers left. We were sitting with one child. One. Now it's overflowing that we don't know what to do. 60, 70, 80 kids. We don't know what to do. Right? Come on. Now we got people involved. Why? That's not so long ago. Why? Because we don't give up. People would come to me and say, oh, Pastor, there was no children today. What should we do? I just said, keep on. Believe God. Pray. Speak over the place. You can believe that. Our kids' church is double the size of this facility, plus other rooms. Right? So you must know, if you've got nobody in there, how exciting that is, right? How good it is for your faith, right? How disillusioned you can become unless you see it differently. That's the difference between a Christian who believes God and religious people. Because religious people look at what is, but a Christian who believes God says, we see what's coming. Amen. Oh, come on. Come on. Amen. It's very quiet, yeah. Amen. Elijah saw it. The cloud the size of a man's hand. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10 says, so Jabez called on the name of Israel, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. So Jabez, who's called pain by his mother, right, is now what? He prays and he says, oh, that you'd bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. So what does he do? He changes his destiny. Amen. That your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So he has a couple of things that Jabez prayed. That's what we can do. We can pray. Amen. So his mother calls him pain. What does he do? The Bible says he's more honorable. Amen. What does he do? He prays. What does he pray? Number one, bless me. Bless me. Bless us. Bless us abundantly. Amen. He says, bless me abundantly. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So for us to pray, God bless me, is not a problem at all. Because God already has said, I will bless you abundantly. Not because you ask, but because of my power. And the Bible says God could swear by no one greater than himself. So he swore by himself and said, in blessing, I will bless you. It's a covenant with God. So let's be a people of Jabez, like Jabez, say, God, bless us. Bless my finances. Bless my health. Bless my family. Bless us as a church. Increase us, Lord God. Amen. Secondly, he prays, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. That's what he prays. Lord, increase me. You know that we can pray, Lord, enlarge us as a church. increase us as a church. And we should pray that. We should pray, God, we want to reach people. God, restore your people. Bring back people. Oh, God, lead us to people that we can minister to them. Amen. Yes. Psalm 18 says, verse 36 and 37, says, you enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. You know what? God wants to enlarge your path. God wants to increase you. That's why he says, Lord, enlarge my territory. You can pray that right now. Just put your hand on your heart and say, God, enlarge my influence. Increase my influence. Increase my territory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So he says, Lord, enlarge my territory. He says, you've enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. For I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. That's what he prays. Lord, enlarge me. And we can pray that. Lord, enlarge my faith. Enlarge my finances. Enlarge my business. Enlarge the church. Enlarge the home cell. Enlarge my capacity to win more people for you. Amen. Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. We can pray that. Jabez says, enlarge me, God. And I want to tell you, it's not arrogant to pray that. In actual fact, God expects us to pray, increase. Amen. People say, well, I just want to be a humble Christian, have nothing. No, that doesn't help us. Helps no one. Amen. You know, 4 months in April, we started the storehouse. God said to me, start, do the storehouse where you will feed those in need. We'll start one up here soon. Okay, we will. All right. We started with nothing. No money, nothing. But you see, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't care. The money will come. Amen. Yes. And there were, who was there? The first Friday, one person came. Second Friday, two. Then one, and then six, and then five, and then four. You know, weekly now, weekly, just coming on a Friday, there are over 100 people coming, 100 families. Families. That we are feeding and helping and assisting just on a Friday. And then the Department of Health, because they don't know what to do, they come to us to give them parcels. Schools come to us. Where did we start? With nothing, with one, with a vision, with a dream. We will do this. We will increase. Amen. Oh, and I want to tell you, if you go look at our place, they got it ready this week, and there was no food there. I went there Friday morning, and we've got a whole team there. I don't even do it anymore. I just go in there, walk in and walk out. You know why? Because it's run by the church. It's run by volunteers. Amen? I walk in there, and it's packed with food. They're praying every week. They're believing God every week. Why? To enlarge us, to increase us. To give us more food, to give us more influence. We can pray that. Amen. We've got tens and tens of thousands of dollars worth of food there. We've given away hundreds of thousands of dollars of food in this last 8-9 months. How? I don't know how. But all that we prayed is God enlarge us. Because people have need. We're not going to turn anyone away because they have a need. Amen. There's a lot of elderly people out there who have need. And we're helping them. I can't tell you the messages that we get, the emails we get from people saying, thank you so much. We love coming here because you treat us with dignity and respect. Right? Because it's about love. That's why we can pray. Lord, enlarge my territory. And I know some people don't like it. There are Christians that don't like what we're doing. They really don't. They're hoping we fail. But we won't fail because our God is with us. Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you that right now. There's a religious devil out there that wants Christians to fail. It's a fact. I can't tell you how many people want me to fail. I can't tell you how many people attack us as a church online all the time. Just is a fact. Do I care? Not at all. You know why? Because if God is with you, you can do anything. One man with God is a majority. And if you can get that faith in this place today, the faith that I carry to shift things, to break open things, then we will do something in this city. Amen. So you walk out of this place today, not with a good sermon. I don't care about good sermons. I care about the fact that you're equipped to do something for God. And maybe I have to offend some people, and that's okay. All right? Let's offend the unbelief out of people and get faith into people and say, let's do what we can do. Amen? God wants to use you. I've seen people that God is using now that never thought they could do anything for God. But God is using them incredibly. Why? Because I always said to them, no, I don't accept that. I sat with a young lady the other day, came to the office. She's doing incredibly well. She's running practices, like medical practices. She started a few years ago with us in 2020, and just when all this rubbish hit our nation. And she started there, and she knew nothing about books. I said to her, you're going to do the books? She said, I don't know how. I said, you're going to learn. I mean, now... her skills now, 3 years later, she's working, she went and got another job. She just sat there in front of me. She said, Pastor, I want to thank you that you never let me accept average. That you never let me say, I can't do this. Because if they came to me, anybody in our staff comes to me, and we have many staff, and they say, we can't do this. I say, I can't hear that. That's not how we work. We can do this. Amen. Sometimes people will come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I know the church has no money. I said to them, who said to you, we got no money? You'll never hear that from my lips ever, ever. I will never, ever say I have no money. Amen. All I will say is you can wait a bit. Amen. But you'll never hear me say that. You know why? Because if what God wants, God will have. And all he wants is people who will believe him and stand with him. Amen. Come on, I share these stories to inspire you, to encourage you to say, hey, we don't just accept it. If we just accepted this, we just accepted by the way and a half-hearted effort, then what would we do for God? Amen? That's why as a church, we do not accept a lack of excellence. I don't care what people say. Amen? If the world can have more excellence out there, and we think we can come and just put things together, slap it together, it's not the way God works. Amen. Excellence, if you've got faith, you produce excellence. That's who we are as a church. Amen. And it's not about control. It's about the fact that we do this for God, and we honor God, and we serve God, who's an excellent God. Amen. And God will do miracles all the time. But let's create the environment that God says, I can work here. Amen. Come on. Somebody say amen in this place. And then he prays. Number three, he says, let your hand of favor be on me. Your hand of favor will be on me. That's what he prays. God, favor me. That's what Jabez prays. You see, and God will favor you. Psalm 35, 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Listen, let me just tell you right now, God will favor you. Maybe a door is closed, but you know God wants it to open. Then pray that, Lord, let them say. I pray that God, that other people, unsaved people out there will favor me. They will say, I will bless this man. Amen. Amen. When I negotiated for that land that we're on and for the place to be built, the people I stood with, I went to see them for 10 minutes, unsaved people. They were not Christians. And I said, this is what I want to do. But when I got there, I said, Lord, you will favor me. And the man stuck out his hand and he said, deal. That's it. Deal. That's how God does it. They were willing to do something that cost them millions. Just on a person sharing for 5 minutes whom they didn't know. And they were willing to step out. That's favor. Amen. God will favor you. Amen. And fourthly, praise. And here's what you've got to realize with favor. It says, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. God wants to prosper us. You've got to pray that. Lord, prosper me. Increase me. Lord, I want to give more. I want to sow more. And we're going to give. We're going to be in a generous church. Amen. Come on, we are a generous church. Amen. Number four. He says, Lord, keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Keep me from evil so that I can be a blessing and not hurt or cause pain to anyone. That's what he prays. What a prayer. Lord, help me to be a person who doesn't cause pain to other people. And this is the key, because that's walking in love. Amen. That's walking in love. It's not about myself. It's not about my desires. If this was about me, I would not be in the ministry. Amen. I could make more money in the world. I could do a lot of business in the world, make a lot of money. But I do this because God told me to do it. Amen. Because you see, when you don't cause pain, that doesn't mean you can't make money. Listen to me. Okay? It's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about myself. Lord, this is not about me. This is about your purpose. Whether it's in business, whether it's in the ministry, whatever it is. Amen. Come on. And so, God, the Bible says, gives us power to get wealth. You know, it takes years to build a church. I don't know if you know that. It takes years to build a church that impacts a generation. It takes years where people serve. I've had people serving in the church the last 8 years when we relaunched that church. They've been serving as ushers. They're still ushers. I've had people serving in the band. They're still in the band. Majority of our band have been with me for 8 years. They've grown in the anointing, and they are anointed, believe me. They carry an anointing that very few carry. But it takes years to build a church. Amen. People are operating in the kids' church. They've been with me for years. But they still carry vision and fire. Amen. They've been together for years. It takes years to build something. It takes years. It doesn't just happen overnight. And sometimes you've got to push through, bam, until something breaks open. And I cannot tell you people over the years, countless people over the years, we've just made commitments to do what is right and say, God, we will serve, we will win our world for Jesus. We'll stand together. Amen. So as we come to a close, let us pray that, Lord, bless me. Lord, enlarge me. Just pray. Just say, Lord, bless me. Amen. Pray. Say, Lord, enlarge me. Pray. Say, Lord, favor me. And pray, Lord, let me cause no harm. Amen. Pray that prayer. Just how amazing it is. You know, and as I close with this scripture, Hebrews 10, 35 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. I'm here to tell you today, let's be a people of confidence. Let's not cast it away. He says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And so, as I close this morning, I'm asking you as a church, right now, not with everyone back, but let's stand together. Let's believe God to fill this place. Let's believe God to... The reason why He wants to fill a place is to reach people. Let's believe God to increase our home cells, to multiply them. Let's believe God to raise more volunteers. And let ourselves say, where can I volunteer? What can I do? Where can I serve? Where can I impact someone? Let's be those people to say, God, we are not of those who draw back, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Let's just stand to our feet. for a couple of minutes this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. We worship you. Come on, just for a couple of minutes, as we just commit this year to God, as we commit this church to God, as we commit the work of God here, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this church to you. We pray, God, that you would have your way. Lord, we ask you to bless us indeed. I ask you that, Lord, bless us indeed. Lord, I ask you to increase us. I ask you to enlarge us. I ask you to favor us as your people, as a church. I pray, God, that we would cause no harm and no pain. But Lord, I really pray that you'd bless us in every way. Bless us as a church. Lord, thank you that everyone associated with this church will be blessed in everything they do. Lord, thank you for your grace that will come and rest upon your people, Father. Lord, we worship you. We glorify your name, Lord. We bless your name, Father. We worship you, God. We worship your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Just for a couple of minutes, just call upon God right now. Maybe there's something in an area in your life that you need to adjust or readjust or change. Just say, Lord, I surrender it to you. And Lord, I pray for a spirit of faith. What I believe right now, God is releasing to this church now, is a spirit of faith, of boldness and tenacity. A spirit of faith that you will not back down. That you will not back down. That you will not be intimidated. That you will not stop. But that you will do what God has called you to do. In Jesus' name, we worship you, God. We glorify your name, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name, God. We bless your name. We worship you, God. We glorify you, Father. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for your presence upon this church. I thank you, God, that the fire of God will rest upon this church. I thank you that the glory of God will rest upon this church. Lord, I thank you for the presence of God, the faith of God that is resting upon this church. I thank you, God, for a church that becomes a combine harvester together. Lord, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you. Just for the next 30 seconds. Maybe there's an adjustment that you need to make before God. Maybe an attitude change. Maybe a heart change. Just right there where you are, ask God. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you've spoken words that are curse words, unbelieving words. Maybe you've spoken over your life. Maybe over the church even, over leaders. Maybe you've spoken that and you say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be a person who causes pain. But Lord, bless us. Increase us. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. A fresh fire. A fresh anointing. A fresh fire, a fresh anointing. I pray that. I pray that upon your people, God. A fresh fire, a fresh anointing. A fresh fire, Lord God. You're going to run as the runner of God. You're going to run as the runner of God. You're going to run as the runner of God. In Jesus' name. You're going to run for God. You're going to run for God. Hallelujah. You're going to run for God. Hallelujah. You're going to run for God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing upon your people. Hallelujah. 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 I declare it upon you. All of you. All of you. A fresh fire, a fresh anointing, a new beginning, a new faith, a new hope. Some of you have lost hope, but you're going to see hope again. Something stirring inside of you. There's hope again. Hope. Hope again. You're not going to back down. You're not going to give up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We speak over this building now. Full. CRC members, full. Full in Jesus' name. Full. Packed. Overflowing. Overflow. It's our year of overflow. We declare it overflow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Overflow. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, overflow. Overflow. Come on. It's our year of overflow. 2024. Our year of overflow. Come on, in Jesus' name. Your life is going to overflow. Your business will overflow. Your finances will overflow. Your health will overflow with goodness. This church will overflow. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Lord. We bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. When God says, you build my house, I'll build your house. Build his house, he'll build your house. Amen.